He is the head coach of the world champion.
Amazing.
Toronto Raptors. World champion Toronto Raptors.
Sounds good.
Here's Nick Nurse. Yeah. How are you?
Nice ring to it. There's a nice ring to it, Bob. I'm good. I'm really good, Bob. Holy smokes, huh? We did it.
Have you come down?
I don't think so.
No, huh?
I don't think so. Not yet. No, it's. It's really something. It's wild. I think winning and the buzzer going off and getting the trophy. I kind of envisioned that someday, maybe. But after the aftermath, I never envisioned. And it's really something. It's really something.
All right, so you win the championship, you go to Vegas, you party in Vegas, you come back to Toronto, you got a couple of days that weren't probably especially quiet, but and then you get the parade thing on Monday. I assume there was some celebration after the parade. What have you been doing the last 36 hours? Resting?
Had a pretty busy day today.
Really?
I've been, the draft's tomorrow. And
yeah.
I hate to, I don't want to bore you, but, you know, you got to have extra meetings with the players. You got a big coaching staff you got to talk to and get, you know, they're all trying to get to their plans and they need to know what's next and when we're reconvening. And so there's been lots of short meetings. That's
all
what
right.
I've been doing.
All right. I'm going to preempt my friend Deitch's question. What'd you say to Kawhi in your exit meeting?
Not much. I just said I'd see him soon. I'm obviously going to see him out there in, 10 days? I don't know what today is, but free agency starts here at the end of the month, so we're setting up the meeting and going to see him. I've never talked to him about the situation at all, other than, you know, he just expresses that he, you know, obviously he's happy with the year. He appreciated the team and the coaching and the fans and all that stuff. So I don't know. I don't want to lean on him about it. I think the decision's not far away and we'll all find out.
He's a businesslike guy. We get that. We respect who he is and what his personality is. We have come to understand it. I think he was extremely cooperative all year in terms of interviews and stuff. He was not shy. He accommodated everybody. Having said all that, one of the intriguing things that I saw was him dancing and laughing and partying in the room on the night you won the championship, and I know you were in there. Did that surprise you at all? You know him probably as well as just about anybody.
No, not really. I think I saw him be pretty joyous a few times during the year, and I thought that I was, and I think I'm not alone here. I thought he looked like he was starting to really enjoy basketball the last couple months and obviously in the playoffs. And he had some moments where he was celebrating, you know, when he hit the four bouncer that went in, you know, he let it all out on that one. Cause I think that was something that he wanted to accomplish, was like to hit a, you know, everybody does that as a kid dribbling around the driveway, you know, a million times, you know, 4-3-2-1. And there it was to take this team someplace, you know, farther and, never really been done like that before. And he was actually happy about that, but he's got some cool emotions in him. I think the whole Kawhi doesn't say anything thing's almost played out at. He was super talkative, in the film room this year and in the huddles and practice. I mean, really he was.
Oh, first Nick, congratulations.
Thank you.
When the Raptors make their presentation to Kawhi in California, his reps, obviously, mm-hmm. his family, what will your role be in that room?
Mine's just basketball related, you know. I want to find out if there's something, whatever we do that he thinks we can do better, you know, whatever we do well that he wants to keep, you know. Let's keep that, throw the things that aren't working out, and let's start doing something different. Maybe that's only my conversations are. And I don't think I have that big a role. I always said that, my job was going to be, I was going to be able to prove to him if I could coach him and if I could coach in this league. And at the end of the year, he was going to have a, a full season under his belt to determine whether or not he liked playing for me or not. And I think we, you know, and with his help, man, we had a great year.
Yeah,
right?
For sure. Nick, obviously the best advertisement for the Raptors was spending the entire year with him. You know, everybody sort of talks about selling Kawhi Leonard. At this point, I think he knows what this organization is about. So it leads me to the question of how much selling is there really in the room when the Raptors come in versus another team?
I don't know. I mean, I would imagine there's some selling of things. I mean, you know, he's going to get a max contract. He's going to get the max years. So there's not a whole lot of negotiating to do on that front. But what else, you know, what else concerns him that we can talk about? You know, his health, the medical care he got here. I think he's over the moon with. You know, I think that Alex McKechnie and his team, he's super comfortable with them. And that's probably maybe one of the most important things, you know.
Nick, you're a positive guy. Have you allowed yourself the possibility of imagining this guy coming back where I think very few people would have imagined that at the beginning of the year?
Let's see. I haven't really tried to think about what it's going to be like either way. Not yet. I'm gonna got like 10 more days to enjoy this, and I'm gonna like have a sleepless night or two leading up to this, but not right now.
Let me ask you this, Coach. What do you think Kyle's role in Kawhi's decision will be? I've been led to believe that he and Kawhi have actually formed some sort of a bond here, and Kyle is. Kyle can be a pretty convincing asset for your team in terms of talking to his teammate Kawhi. What do you think his role will be? Do you think it could be important?
Yeah, but I'll say this. I mean, first of all, Kyle's important, and he's a leader, right? Everything he's about is leadership. So a guy like that, opinion's going to, you know, weigh a little heavier maybe than some of the other guys. But I will say this. And this happens when you get a championship team. I mean, this is a pretty tightly knit group. You know what I mean? There's a great relationship between Kawhi and Kyle. There's a great relationship between Kawhi and Serge. You know, Kawhi and Mark, Kawhi and Fred. I mean, Kawhi and Danny. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, and any other permeations of those guys I just mentioned. So I think it's a pretty tight-knit group, and I think you got to be hard-pressed. That stuff doesn't happen every year, trust me.
Nick, one of the things I read, I think I read this in the Des Moines Register, and it's fantastic. I've spent some time with Hubie Brown, written a number of pieces on him. It's always a gem just to hang out with him. It is correct, Nick, that the play that Kawhi Leonard obviously hit the three-pointer against Philadelphia to win that series, you stole that from a Hubie Brown DVD that you bought in Ames, Iowa? Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. No. That is true.
Can you tell us the story on that?
Well, just quickly, when I got back from England and we were getting ready to get that D-League team up and running in Des Moines, I went to championships right up. I was living 20 miles down the road from Championship Book and Video in Ames, and I just went on. I think I got one of their catalogs in the mail or something back in those days. But I think I just bought every NBA DVD they had, and there was Hubie had two of them. Popovich had one. Jeff Van Gundy had one. I think Mike Fratello had one. Anyway. I bought all those, and Hubie's was great. I mean, you know, you're right. Man, that was one of my favorite parts of the finals. I got to go see Hubie every day because he was doing the radio for ESPN, and I'd been to his house and spent a day at his house talking basketball one time as well. And you know, he's a legend, man. And the way he describes the game, the way he teaches it, et cetera, is way, 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 way up there, right? I mean, at the top. And anyway, yeah, so just watch the video, and, you know, he's going through some plays, and he said, all right, this one you can use. This one's a great one. You can use it against man or zone. And so we used it in the D-League, and And I should probably go back and look. Nate Bjorkman, my assistant at Iowa, would know. But it had to be, I don't want to exaggerate, somewhere between 6 and 10, 11 times in the 4 years we were at Iowa, we either won a game or tied a game with that play. And that was a play we used. We called it four then, and we called it four now. Play four on the side. Yep.
Well, you see, you probably have to have a credential in order to be able to do your own DVD. You got to be a championship coach, a legendary guy, or whatever. I believe, Nurse, you now qualify, and therefore I'm offering the services of my very own production company to produce the first Nick Nurse DVD. Are you in?
I'm gonna have to check out. You give me a little background check first, but I'll consider it.
God bless you.
Thanks for the offer. Yeah. Thanks for the offer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're in that category now. It ain't supposed to be this easy, you know, Nurse. You know, you're not supposed to just, you know, move one chair over, you know, in your 50s and get your first head coaching job and then ho hum win a championship. You know this doesn't happen every day.
Yeah, I mean, I try to constantly remind myself, Bob, of A, how fortunate I was to get this team and this city organization. I mean, there's a lot of good in this organization, as you know, from Larry and George, the owners. They're awesome, to Masai and Bobby, and then the guys that have to go do it on the floor. That's a hell of a group of players. And that is very fortunate for me.
Couple quick ones from me, Nick. Who is the most unexpected person that you heard from who offered congratulations? Maybe somebody you just never would have expected would have reached out.
Well, gosh, I've had a lot of cool ones. I just don't know which ones I want to tell you about. Bill Clinton.
Wow.
Nice.
Pretty cool. And gosh, I don't know if I should tell you guys this or not.
Come on.
At the top of my bucket list, my unofficial, like, mental bucket list, I mean, like, I never really wrote one down, would be to sing the seventh inning stretch at Wrigley Field. I'm a huge Cubs fan, and they sent me a video yesterday from the right before the game, Cubs Sox game, in the Oregon players room, inviting me to sing the seventh inning stretch.
Wow.
At Wrigley, and then he played We Are the Champions on the Oregon. So that doesn't get any better for me than that.
Now, are you going?
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
I'm just going to work on my voice a little bit.
Well, are you going to take your axe? You know, because I know you've taken the guitar out on the road a little bit. I mean, are you, you know, yeah. No, you're just going to do it a cappella, huh?
Yeah, I don't think you, I think it's a. I'm going to try to do it as close to Harry Carey together as possible.
Holy cow.
Nick, one of the things that if you talk to players or people in an organization, they'll tell you that, like, you know, maybe the public and or the media know 50% of what happened in a given year. There were, you know, some of your players sort of alluded to the fact that, like, there were some moments during the year, some tension during the year that this group had to overcome. Obviously, you're not going to sort of tell us what that refers to, but How much do we really know about what went down this year with you guys, like, versus what really went down this year with you guys?
I would say I think I know what you're referring to. I think Kawhi mentioned that on the on Rachel Nichols right after the game.
Exactly.
I'm not sure. I think that's a little bit misleading. I mean, there's tension. There's a lot of it in every NBA season, but I don't think it was too bad. We had some moments, right? I think we had some moments where we were really needed to go one way, and if we didn't go that way, it was going to go the other, you know? And I think we always kind of came out of those, but not a ton of them. I mean, not to me, like, much less than normal. I would say this, though. I think there was a lot of things happening in the games that were really impactful that I don't think a lot of people were, you know, didn't quite pick up on or whatever, which is, I mean, I'm not saying that. There's 1,000 things happening out there, and there was some nice ideas from players. There were some great coaching staff suggestions of things that we would do matchup-wise or out of timeouts that were really huge that that were just kind of, we were getting done and nobody, I don't think even the other teams were noticing at times, and they would end up being really impactful in games.
Nick, you got a lot of questions. Sorry, Bob. That about OG Anunoby, in terms of how close, you know, he obviously had a really tough year, young kid, a lot of talent. How close were you to giving him some time in the finals when he was finally cleared to play?
I was very close in game six. Leading into that, I was really working hard the game or two, the day or two prior to the game to figure out the rotation or a matchup or a time of the game. I was looking at who I thought they might have in, and I don't know. And I just, it was hard because there wasn't a lot of practice going on because the games were so fast and intense. We were resting the day after and resting up the day before. So I hadn't seen a lot of him, but I just had, you know, I was one of those gut things. I was just thinking, man, I think this kid might need a fresh burst of legs here for 5 minutes somewhere in the third quarter or something, and he might be able to do it. So I was getting to almost planning on using him, and then it just never came to fruition.
My recollection is of two critical games in this playoff run, and you can probably guess the games I'm going to cite. Game four against Philadelphia, game three against Milwaukee. Were there moments in either of those two or leading up to either of those two where you, I don't want to say questioned what the outcome of this whole thing would be, but were you more tense leading into those two games because they were so important?
Let me answer those separately, Bob. The game four in Philly, I sensed a little bit from our team that we were shook just a little. And I hadn't sensed that yet. However, it was pretty short-lived. At our team meeting the next day, which was at the arena, we just went over like a bunch of problem areas. The things that, you know, it was Embiid's role. It was the Butler Embiid screen and roll. It was, you know, three or four major things that we needed to, like, these are our problems, and here's how we're going to fix them. And here's a few problems on offense that and here's how we're going to fix them. And I thought leaving that meeting, our guys were like, exactly, it's exactly what we need to do. And that's, we're going to go do it. And listen, I want to be clear. There was a bunch of things under effort. There was kind of three categories. There was offense, defense, and then there was an effort thing. And I call them uncharacter like moments, you know, guys just totally missing blockouts, you know, easy blockouts to get a rebound and you know, letting the putback go by or you know, and I showed those clips. I showed, this is not your character to do this, and then I'd show one and say, this is your character, you know, here's you blocking out and pushing the guy out of bounds because that's what it took, and here's you taking a charge, and here's, you know, or whatever. So I thought after that, Bob, it was good. And then the game two, Milwaukee, Milwaukee, we showed no sign of wavering or worry. In fact, there was the team meeting after game. We went down 0-2, but our guys were like, we're going to get home and we're going to be ready to go. I think our guys felt good about how we outplayed them in game one and just didn't get any breaks and didn't win, but we thought we totally outplayed them, and then we made a nice push, and we just, again, had a better feel for what we needed to do, and we were like, we're going to go do it. Or they were, you know, our players were like, we're going to go do it, you know?
Were you confident, was this team confident going into the Golden State series?
Yep, I think we were. I think we were, again, it was something in a meeting that we addressed, that you were playing a dynasty-type team, and I tried to relate it to the NFL and college football in the States, and, you know, the Patriots are there every year, and some teams are beat before they take the field because it's the Patriots, and Alabama's there every year, and you know, we can go be Clemson and Philadelphia Eagles if we want, and don't really care that we're playing a team that's a dynasty, and go show them what we got, you know, and that's what I think our guys did.
Nick, one of the great things about this run is there are just so many moments, I think, that people will remember, will gravitate to. Obviously, Kawhi's shot. against the Sixers, and his other shot, as Bob mentioned, in that critical game four. Something that, for me, that I will never forget, happened to be there, was when Kyle Lowry fouled out in game three against the Bucks, and Fred VanVleet, who did not have a good series against the Sixers, came in, and basically, that's a game you have to win. If you go down 3-0, it's very, very hard, as you know, in the NBA.
Impossible,
to come
really.
Back. VanVleet steadied the ship, played great, and then Kawhi eventually got you home in game three. But I will never, I will always remember that stretch from him. And I felt like that was sort of the moment that also set Freddie on to what turned out to be an incredible NBA Finals, where, as we mentioned earlier, the guy got a vote from Hubie Brown as Finals MVP.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. And you know what? That's a really good spot by you in saying that, because, you know, Freddie went 1-for-12 in that game.
There you go.
And played great. And that I didn't even know he went 1-for-12 till about a day and a half later. So I got asked at the press conference, what are you going to do about Freddie and Danny shooting? They were 2-for-20. And I go, what? Yeah, Dan Fleet was 1-for-12. And I was like, you know what? He played so good, I didn't care. He was playing defense and running the team and making plays. And you're right. That was a huge turning point for him in the playoffs, that he had to play those 16 straight minutes, because Kyle went out with 6 minutes to go in regulation, and it was a double overtime game.
Bob, I don't think I told you I was going to ask Nick this, but I really need to know. Nick, do you have a fun guy or board man gets paid t-shirt?
I don't, but I was thinking about getting one yesterday, to be honest. I like the board man gets paid. That's cool.
I got one more, at least, here. And this may be personal, and, you know, I respect that you may decline to respond, but I think it was game three against Golden State. I'm not positive. It could have been game four. And there was a shot of you sitting on the bench, and you bowed your head and spent a second on the bench before you got up and marched off. What was going through your mind at that moment?
Well, I mean, you guys know my mother passed away, right, early in the season.
Yes.
Right in the middle of the West Coast road trip. It would have been her 95th birthday.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. I think it was, yeah. That was it, really.
You need to say no more. Everybody, I think, understands that moment.
Nick, I don't know if this has come down your way, but it eventually will. As far as you are aware, have you gotten invited to either the American White House or some kind of meeting with Justin Trudeau?
Definitely the Trudeau meeting, because they'd been asking me about scheduling it. I've heard nothing about the White House. Canada's team anyway, right?
Yeah, I'm not interested in your politics, but would you go? Would you go to see Trump?
Oh, I don't know. I don't. I'm
cross that bridge when you get to it, huh?
I think you know we're here. Why? You know, let's go see Trudeau up in Ottawa, and that's we're Canada's team.
Right? Atta boy,
Nick. One of the things that, and again, I realize. You know, probably somebody who's lived in this country for 25, 30 years like Bob would have a better feel for it. But it struck me that when you saw, I mean, you could even see the faces in the parade, young people, multiracial, multicultural, girls and boys, men and women. It feels like the run that you guys just had is going to be a transformational moment for basketball in this country. I know we're not going to know the answer to that for 5 or 10 years, but can you feel that at all? Did you get a sense of that?
I don't know about that, but I mean, you're right. But that, again, you make a great point. It's what struck me the most. I was like, geez, everybody from the age of 6 to 18 is here. It's like, look at all these and such diversity. It was really something to see, a sea of young people who were so excited and showing such nationalistic pride, man. It really was.
We have the great commonality here in Toronto that everybody who lives here loves living here, and we all hate winter. We all hate the snow. We all wish we were someplace else for the 4 or 5 months where winter befalls us. But at the end of the day, everybody stays. It's a
wait a minute.
It's a great city.
Wait a minute, Bob. wait a minute, why? How come when it snows, then everybody comes outside? I love it.
Yeah.
When the snow comes down, more people are outside. Or when it's a really when it's really snowy, that's when the music seat, the clubs are packed the most. It's great, man. I love it.
Well,
anyway, sorry, I didn't want to cut you off.
No, you've lived it. You understand it now, and it's a special place. And Toronto gave to this Raptor team something special on Monday, and I've lived here all my life virtually, and I've never seen anything like it. And
Hey, can I just say one more thing on that, Bob?
Yeah, you can.
And I don't make too big a deal out of this, but you know, game one when the O Canada came on and every single person in the arena,
was
singing as loud as they could. I was looking down at the Golden State players and coaching staff, mostly the coaching staff, and they were like, you know, holy moly, we got our hands full here.
Yeah,
I swear that's what they were thinking, and I give everybody credit for putting that thought in their head. So appreciate everybody out there.
We don't want to take much more of your time, but I gotta congratulate you on your appointment as the coach of Canada basketball and the national team.
Yep.
Thank you.
And the project ahead. Guys are going to meet early in August, I guess that's the plan, and then you go on your adventure from there. That's what's happening. Oh, do we lose Nick? We seem to have lost him.
Nick dropped off. I mean, we don't know his answer now, too.
Well, let's see if we can get him back. We're only going to keep
good
another
stuff
couple
there.
Of minutes.
I enjoyed that. I was just sitting back and listening to some of what Nick was saying. And I will say this, just being there and, like, watching that crowd sing the Canadian anthem was incredible. I mean, I talked to reporters from California and around the country. You know, when I say the country, around the states, they were blown away. I mean, they have never seen anything like that. Just the nationalistic pride. Prior to an NBA game, it was an amazing, amazing moment.
Yeah, we have seen it to some extent with the Blue Jays, but not really like that. That was extraordinary. Nick's back with us. I don't know what happened, Coach, but we're glad you're back. And we won't not going to keep you much longer. I just want to give me a quick reaction to being named the Team Canada coach, and what your thoughts are moving forward with that.
Really excited. We get going in August, like you said, early August, and we World Cup in China. We're heading towards Australia as well to play a few games. I know we play Australia, New Zealand, and Team USA in Sydney at some point. But I'm there's a lot of young, emerging talent there, so that's exciting as well. And we're just gonna approach it like we did here. We're gonna try to get a talented group of guys to play super hard and play together and go for it, man.
Well, I know that there are a couple of players that have been reluctant, shall we say, to participate, and for explicable reasons. NBA players, you know, don't like giving up their summertime. But I think the appointment of Nick Nurse as the head coach, the world champion coach, is going to sway some people. I think you're going to have a pretty good roster, and we'll watch with great interest as to how this thing progresses. You've been good. You've been good to us all year long. We want to tell you how much we appreciate it, and congratulations again on the on an extraordinary first year. I don't know how you top this, but good luck and thanks again.
Thanks a lot. I enjoyed coming on all year too, Bob. Great to get to know you guys. And man, like I said when I came on, we did it, man. It's awesome. Congratulations to everybody.
Yeah.
We'll see you soon, I hope.
Thank you, Nick.
Thanks, okay. Nick.
See you guys.
Bye-bye. Nick Nurse, head coach, Toronto Raptors.